Hey guys, this is Kurt from the MFG Cast, and you're listening to the Dragon Fisters podcast. What is Dragon Fisters? I don't know. Are they punching dragons in the mouth? Are they fisting them in weird places? Who knows? So check it out.
The following content is rated M for mature.
Welcome to the Dragon Fisters podcast. Don't worry, we'll be gentle.
This is the Dragon Fisters actual play podcast episode 195. Last time, after doing some bartering and haggling, Marmalek finally let go of his precious scroll case, allowing them to buy their key. And after knocking on some doors, they at last found their portal. Now before we figure out what hellish landscape this takes them to, let's go ahead and do some intros.
I'm Al, and I play Marmalek the Scholar.
Hi, this is John. I play Leopold Hardwick.
This is Dave, and I play Dorian Almax.
This is John, and I'll be playing Galen Brandybine.
This is Jesse, and I'm your Game Master.
And now, let's get back to the gameplay.
The four of you have stepped through the portal. And when you do, everything goes black. And you eventually begin to see tiny little specks of light that are in the distance at first, but then quickly get closer until they are completely surrounding you. These little dots of light begin to stretch, and they begin to turn almost prismatic as they spiral quicker and quicker beyond you. Soon enough, you find yourself almost in a tunnel of rainbow light. So, basically, if you've ever been like a fun house, you know, when you go into that spiral tunnel, it's pretty much like that, except you have these lights that are, you know, stretching all around you, kind of creating said tunnel.
So you're telling us that Morm hit the hyperdrive.
Basically,
yeah. I'm going up under crispy.
All right. Dorian.
Yes.
So, you are in this tunnel.
Huh.
And you glance around a little bit, and while your surroundings are dark, you have this light around you, but it's a somewhat distant light, and so it's not actually creating any light upon you. It's not nearly bright enough to actually illuminate your surroundings. So while your surroundings are dark, your immediate area is actually full of a bright yellow light. But like I said, it's not a light created by anything around you. It seems to almost be coming from you.
Very nice.
As you look down and you kind of look around a little bit, you see, though not entirely corporeal, you seem to actually be donned in a set of golden yellow robes that are wonderfully adorned with this gold filigree.
Is the rest of my equipment there or no?
So you begin to check, and all of your equipment is there. This seems to actually be sitting over that equipment. Almost as if it's kind of aura-like around you. And when you actually begin to check around, you see that floating in your right hand, now you're not grasping anything, so your hands are open.
Right.
But this second skin almost that's over you, you can very vaguely see kind of the sleeve end and where there might be a hand, and floating there, just kind of around your hand almost, is a staff. And in your other hand is a mace.
Interesting. Can I actually feel these in my hands, or?
You can't. You actually, you know, if you try to grasp it, because it's floating basically almost right at your palm. If you try to grasp it, your hand will actually go through it.
Same thing with the robe then, if I were to try to touch that?
Yeah.
Alright, I'm gonna just kinda like, oh, we're still walking along, you said, right?
You're more floating. You're not so much walking.
Okay. So at which point I'm just gonna, like, kind of talking to myself, but loud enough that the others can hear. Does anyone else see this?
Alright. And now at this point you begin to kind of look around and you look for the others and no one else is around.
Oh, good. Well then, alright, I guess I have no choice then at this point to let whatever's happening play itself out.
Alright, very nice. I will tell you too, just in terms of a little detail, if you look at the staff is topped with a, it looks more like an elderly man's face with a beard, but the beard kind of gets swept up in this surrounding pattern of spiral lines, almost. And then the head of the mace, looks like a very artistic, representation of a sun.
Huh. Excellent.
And, as you're going along and you're kind of inspecting this and taking a look, suddenly everything goes completely black, like in a flash. Or lack of a flash. Galen.
Yes.
All right. So you start off floating within this spiral of light, though soon enough, you actually find solid footing below you. So it's kind of almost like you were floating, but then you feel almost your feet dragging slightly on something, and almost by momentum guiding you, you just begin to kind of walk.
All right. I kind of look around a little bit, try to, you know, collect myself up underneath myself.
All right, nice. You kind of look around, and you're fairly unsure of where this solidness is coming from, because while you feel yourself standing on something, underneath you, there's nothing more than what's beside you or above you, which is basically nothingness, and then off in the distance, this prismatic light.
So I look down and then, you know, I expect to kind of see like ground or something, like, oh, we must be where we're going. Mm-hmm. And then I look down and there's nothing. And he just like, you know, kind of wrenches himself, so like jerks himself back like he's going to fall like on the edge of a cliff. And then nothing happens. So he's like, okay. And then he kind of calls out. He's like, it's, you know, same thing as Dorian. Does the same thing happen to you guys?
And you get no response.
Right.
Yeah.
So he just kind of keeps, you know, taking measured steps, kind of looks down every once in a while, make sure he's not going to, like, fall, and then shrugs and is like, I can't see anything anyway.
And then all right.
Keeps motoring.
There you go. So you take a handful of steps now that you've kind of gotten your confidence of where you are and figured, screw it, what's going to happen? If I fall, there's nowhere to fall anyway. So you start walking, and you take a handful of steps, and you suddenly hear a moment of laughter, almost, behind you. Kind of sounds like laughter. It's fairly high-pitched, almost like a kind of...
Okay, I spin.
All right.
If I can catch whoever's there, since it seems like I'm alone.
Yeah, and there's nothing. And when you spin around, so now you're facing, you know, where you were coming from, basically.
Right.
You feel a slight poke on your right shoulder, like from behind you.
Right. So I spin again.
All right.
My hand drops to the hilt of the rapier, but I don't draw it.
Okay. And there's no one behind you.
Now he stops walking, plants both feet, kind of takes a slow look left, slow look right, and then he'll use the hand not on the rapier and kind of like reach behind himself, see like somebody's like shadowing him very, very well.
Okay.
He's kind of like thrust his arm, you know, behind him, see if he can snag somebody.
All right. And you feel nothing behind you.
So I guess I'll stand there for a minute, see if anything happens, and then be like, is anybody here?
Mm-hmm. And you wait for a couple moments after you say that, and something pokes you on the butt, like on the side almost.
And instead of turning, I just reach out. You know, I just thrust my hand behind me and see if I can't.
Give me a reflex check.
All right. Let's see. I rolled an 18. Dex modifier is 4, so 22.
Not bad. You feel almost thick air as you reach behind you. So you feel, you know, for a moment that you might have something and your hand kind of slows a little bit, but then it loses all force back and just swipes through.
So I look, I can't obviously put my back to anything. So he kind of steps back a couple of steps. It's like, I don't know if you're playing a game or not. All this is pretty weird. I don't really know what's going on. If you want to show yourself, maybe you can help me out. Maybe I can help you out.
And you hear another.
So, well, I'm going to continue this way because I think this is the way I'm supposed to go. I guess you can tag along. I guess there's nothing I can do about it anyway. Just kind of chuckling. I'm going to go now.
And give me a perception check.
All right. 18 again, plus 7, 25.
Nice. You hear from behind you a rattle sound, almost like a rattling of a set of keys.
All right. He is going to use the Raven's Cloak.
Okay.
So I hear the rattle. Mm-hmm. I just draw the cloak a little closer around me and then throw my arms out so that the cloak pops out, busts out into a bunch of ravens and shoot directly, I'm assuming behind myself is where I hear the keys,
mm-hmm.
a beeline straight behind to see if I can snag whoever it is.
Nice. All right. Go ahead and give me a touch attack.
All right. According to the cloak here, it provides cover and slows enemies.
Okay.
So I don't know if this is considered an enemy. That's not going to roll. I rolled a 3.
Okay.
I don't think that's going to come close to anything.
Yeah. So, all the ravens fly out and flock all around, and after, they kind of spiral and they begin, their initial kafaw stops and they begin to spiral around, you just hear another.
Damn it. So I coalesce back into my form from the flock of the ravens and just like, all right, well, have your fun. And, just kind of pull myself up to all my 2'9" and make a beeline in the direction that I was moving.
All right. So, when you coalesce back and you kind of, look around to see if you got anybody or if you can see anything. There's one thing that has changed a little bit. You're not sure if it's new or if it's just something that you didn't really notice because you were paying attention to your more immediate area. But you can see that the distance that you've walked so far, which doesn't feel as far as what it looks like, but it looks like you've actually covered a pretty decent distance. You have been leaving behind a trail of these small, glittery silver footprints. Okay. And you can tell that they're yours because they, you see them spin a few times and, continue to walk and then disappear. And, you're actually a little bit, you seem kind of scattered and then back together. And so you're nearly positive that they're yours.
Okay.
The one thing that's, well, possibly more stranger is that you actually see a second pair of footprints. Okay. These ones are a much more dull gold, and if you haven't been looking at yours, then you probably wouldn't have even noticed them. But these ones actually crisscross your own, and you see that kind of with every move you make, it, will back up or move forward and spin with you, and so you kind of just see them almost dancing along with you.
That's the case. He sees all that. He'd made to make a beeline to go. He sees all the footprints, and then he just sits down.
Okay.
He like Indian style, puts his hands on his knees and just kind of sits and waits. He's not going to wait for very long because, portal travel, time travel, whatever. He doesn't really know what's going on. but there's something here. So he wants to see maybe if he can wait it out.
All right. So you wait for who knows how long, really. But after a while, you just kind of hear this. And then a couple moments after that, you hear a just kind of clink, clink, clink from right behind you.
I'm going to roll back. See if I can...
All right. You roll backwards, and something, at this point you're on nothing almost. So you roll backwards, and you actually feel yourself roll over something.
Can I acrobatics check, like tumble back, sure. up to my feet, and then just try to grab it?
Yeah, sure.
All right. I'm not going to roll that die again. acrobatics check. I rolled a 19. Let me find my skills here. Plus 8, so 27.
Holy crap. You were making the switch out at the appropriate time. Looks like you're keeping it. Not bad. My thing has frozen for... All right, so you kind of hear this noise and you're like, done, and you jump backwards, rolling back and go to grab, and you find that there's nothing behind you, and laying at your feet are probably about 4 small coins.
Okay, I pick them up, flip them over, kind of look, see if I can recognize what the stamp is on it or anything.
All right. The only thing that you see that's stamped on them is a small, wide, and somewhat stout footprint.
Okay. And now I think I know what's going on. I take my pack off, my bag or whatever I'm carrying. I take out some of the trail rations and I leave them. And I just say thank you. I pick up the coins and continue on my way.
Nice.
I don't have anything else to offer, so.
Right. So you walk for a few moments, and soon enough you get to a place where you go to take a step forward, and everything, it feels like you're walking through a brick wall almost, where your body can no longer move, and that lasts for only a split second before everything goes black.
Sweet.
Marmalek.
Yes.
All right. So these this rainbow tunnel that you find yourself in right now lasts maybe 5 or 8 seconds, and just as quickly as the lights came, spiraled into color, and surrounded you, they drop out of sight. until you are left in just nothing but complete darkness. And this is a dark that even you cannot see your own hand in front of your face.
Okay. Can I hear anything? Or so,
yeah, you pause for a moment, and well, it's not like you can really do anything else. And at first, you hear nothing. You know, it's pure darkness. It's the complete absence of light, the complete absence of touch, and the complete absence of sound. After a few moments, though, you begin to hear something echoing off in the distance. And it's almost like reverb on a guitar played backwards, where you just it starts off quiet and begins to get louder. And you can suddenly hear this sound all around you. And it is this deep, resonant tone that is so loud to the point that the beating of it is actually painful to your ears.
Oh,
go ahead.
No, I'm just going to kind of put his fingers in his ears and just continue to try to look around. Maybe every couple seconds pull it out a little bit so we can hear if there's anything underlying the tone.
Nice. You put your fingers in your ear trying to block out the sound, and it doesn't help. And you pull out your fingers, and the sound is still there. And you put your fingers back in, and the sound doesn't change. It doesn't get quieter. And that's when you realize now that the sound is not only around you, but in you.
Uh-oh.
And from this sound, you hear a voice.
Great.
Almost within the sound and of it. The voice says to you, "Marks have faded, though my scars still live deep within you, upon your soul. You have bound yourself to me, and it is a bond that cannot be broken, not even with death."
Does he recognize the voice?
He does not.
Oh boy. Okay. Who are you? I've bound myself to many ideas, but never truly to people. Who is this? What scars do you speak of?
And you now begin to feel this burning, deep, cutting pain throughout your entire torso. Unfortunately, it's not something that you can really observe because, again, you cannot see. But you just feel this just almost unending, torturous pain that soon tingles throughout your entire torso and into your limbs until you can even feel it on the tip of your tongue almost. And then suddenly the sound stops. Leo.
Yes.
Leo, looking around, you see that practically, so first off, you know, same tunnel of light, very pretty, right? I'm guessing at this point, nothing really catches you off guard, especially since you just stepped through a tunnel, stepped through a portal. You're probably going to expect something.
Yeah.
And so you're kind of looking around, and you see that practically every inch of you is bathed in a dim glow.
Is there a particular color to the glow?
It looks to be just a slight whitish-gray light, but it's not something that gives off light, really. You look, and it's actually your clothing, your armor, your cloak, your boots. That is what's giving off this subtle light. So it's not even that they're glowing necessarily. It's like, it's almost like they're brighter than anything else. Does that make sense?
Yeah. My weapons too, or just my clothes and armor?
What weapons? Well, you're not holding your weapons right now, are you?
I'm holding my bow.
You're holding your bow. All right. In that case, you can actually see that your bow is also giving off the same, for lack of a better term, glow. Except for the Raven Skull. That is actually even brighter than anything else. That looks to be as if it is actually emanating a light. But it's not the same. It's not that constant static glow that everything else is. It has almost a pulsating to it, and it's pulsating this red light. And it's incredibly bright and intense, and then dims slightly and comes back almost like a heartbeat.
Okay. I'm gonna look at the bow and kind of like flip it around in my hand, and I'm just gonna be like, wow, guys, look, check, and I'm guessing I don't see anybody.
Correct.
Alright. And am I still like moving forward while this is happening too?
Yep. Everything, you can see that all the light around you is still moving. So you can tell that you're going somewhere, at least.
I'm gonna touch the Raven Skull. Is it like warmer than it should be, or colder than it should be, or?
No, it still feels like a cool crystal.
Okay. Alright. I'm just gonna kinda look at it and wonder, and then just kinda look at, like, start looking around the environment.
Alright. And, almost as soon as your attention drifts to your surroundings, everything goes completely black in an instant.
Wow, I got the short end of the stick.
Short about the peak time period of mine.
What was that?
It was around the same length as mine.
True.
You guys want to go ahead and give me fort checks?
Uh-oh.
Ew.
Ooh, yeah. Ooh. I'm okay with it now.
Leah got a 9.
Yeah.
22.
Are we adding con mod? I forget.
For fort, yes.
For fort, is it? Yeah.
19.
Wow.
Would endurance factor into this?
No.
Then 19.
Nice. Look at that. Alright, so, this, you know, you go from complete blackness to a tunnel of light back to black. And you now find, well, for most of you, is when you find your feet firmly planted once again on land. And it takes your eyes a moment to adjust. And you do feel this kind of, you know, almost twingy feeling in your stomach. You know, as if, you know, when you suddenly stop a car, you know, you feel that slight impact almost. Leo, unfortunately, feels it more than anybody else. And you basically get out of the tunnel and everything stops and your brain starts to spin and everything goes fuzzy a little bit and you just, you know, retch on the ground in front of you.
Hey, watch your boots. Watch my boots.
Oh, God. That tunnel. Nope.
Well, what happened?
It's spinning.
Yeah, it was... I mean, hey, did anything weird happen to you while you were... I mean, besides the puking and the spinning, I mean... There was something in there. With, I mean, I didn't see you guys, but there was something else in there. I don't know if I want to give voice to it out loud, but, yeah.
I didn't have anything with me. My clothes, armor, and weapons just kind of glowed a little bit. Especially the skull. I didn't think there was anything all that special about it, but it glowed a lot brighter than everything else. Ooh,
probably makes sense.
That's about it.
What about you, Dorian? Anything weird?
Well, I wouldn't necessarily call it weird. It was actually fairly comforting for me. Similar to what Leo said, pretty much everything on me and around me was glowing. And it was weird. Over my armor, I was wearing these golden robes. And out by one hand was this mace that, it would almost look like fire. Like it was designed to be almost like the sun. And then on the other hand, there was a staff floating that had a visage of an old man's head on the top of it. And there was just, light and color everywhere. And my feet weren't even on the ground anymore. I was actually floating along. It was incredible, and it was comforting at the same time. But I didn't see or hear anything to indicate that there was something in there with me. In fact, none of you were there. I even spoke in the hope that someone was there, and there was no answer.
So, Marm, you probably had something similar then?
Yeah, you could say that. It was pretty much not quite like that, but more like the other one.
And real quick, Marm, I'll tell you that you kind of at this point still feel your chest. Burning slightly.
I wanted to do a quick perception check to see if I could kind of feel out, or at least put my hand under my my cloak and see if I had any actual wounds or anything.
It's definitely wet underneath there.
All right.
When you kind of feel a little bit, the skin feels rough.
Awesome.
Even rougher than usual.
So yeah, he's going to kind of be touching his chest. He's going to go, it was about the same. And my staff here kind of glowed too. But other than that, it was pretty quick. I didn't have anything that was there like what you said. I didn't run into anyone.
So I planted my hands on my hips and I like I'm not the smartest guy here. I mean, Marm, that'd be you. But I think that maybe we all just had a run-in with something that's beyond. I mean, besides just, walking through a portal and, moving through time and space, which is bizarre enough.
That it is.
We had like a run-in with a ghost?
Well, no. I mean, if you think about it, your skull glowed, right? You got the skull from the Raven Queen. I almost felt like there was a child just not harassing me, but just playing games and fooling around. And I found these, and I reach into my pocket, and I hopefully pull out the coin so I don't appear to be crazy. These were left for me. The halfling footprint, that's the sigil for Brando Varys. And Dorian, he had the mace, the old man, the glowing, the sun. I mean, doesn't that sound like Pelor? But Pelor is dead, right?
That's what everyone keeps saying, and even the history books that I was reading in the library attested to that fact, yeah.
But if you were his champion, could he in some way live through you still?
Well, my ability to use the light was Pelor's gift to his followers. So, in a sense, even though Pelor himself no longer exists, the gift that he gave us is a part of him. So he's a part of all of those who follow him in his ways and are able to use that power.
Yeah, I don't know.
So, if I'm getting this right, you think our deities, the ones we follow, just kind of gave us a thumbs up?
I think so. And I mean, I don't know who you worshipped before, but it seems like you've bound yourself completely to the Raven Queen, where Marm and I said that we would help, but it seems like you've given yourself over. Not that that's a bad thing, I guess, but I don't know if that's what you really bargained for.
All right. I'm still trying to figure that out.
I think the decision's been made for you already.
We'll see.
And Dorian's just going to kind of like shake his head.
I thought you didn't want me to just jump at the next god I saw.
I didn't, but now you're not even sure if the god you're currently worshipping and following and prepared to give your soul to is a god that you want to follow. I'd rather you believed in something than have you just drifting through not knowing.
Well, is that better? By the way,
yeah.
Again?
Yep.
Okay. There you go.
Well, she exists, clearly, and she has followers, clearly. We met her.
Yes, and
I'm still learning more. Well, I haven't met Pelor and whatever, but I'm still learning about her and still trying to decide if I want to give my complete devotion over to anything.
And who are you learning all of this from?
I read a lot in the library.
Oh.
Yeah. See? I actually am learning things. I'm just making them up.
I can tell you from personal experience, it's much different following a god and upholding what they believe in than it is reading about it in a book and thinking that you're doing what's right.
Well, I also talked to one of the Raven Queen clerics in Gloomrot when we were there.
For how long?
I didn't really have a watch on me, but like 10 minutes, give or take.
Oh, so in a 10-minute conversation with a follower, you believe you know all there is to know about a god?
No. That's why I don't know if I want to give my whole body and soul over to her yet. Is that really so hard to believe?
Oh, no. I fully believe that you have no idea what you're doing.
Well, considering how the last god that I tried to follow, his champion just flat out lied to me every chance he got, I'm a little more cautious this time. Oh, what a shock.
Really? You know what? We've had this conversation before, and you still believe that I was lying to you, so there's clearly no changing your mind.
That's because it's a fact. You can't change the facts no matter how much you want to. You can't believe facts away.
The facts do exist, and the fact of the matter is that nothing I told you was a lie.
Okay.
All right, so where are we heading now?
Well, while you guys are doing that, I just kind of sidle up to Marm, and I'm like, were they this bad before we died?
Well,
a sentence you can only say in D&D.
I really don't think so. Yeah, they're pretty awesome, those two.
Okay, I was just checking, because I wasn't sure.
No, you are accurate in your assessment.
Okay, fair enough.
And as those two are still kind of bickering between the two of them, Marm's going to kind of walk away a little bit and look down and try to see what the hell's going on with his chest and limbs, for that matter.
Okay. What kind of armor is Marmalek wearing right now?
None.
Not sure exactly what he picked up. So just the cloak?
Just the cloak.
Oh, nice. All right. So yeah, then it'll be fairly easy for you to see. I'm guessing you were probably kind of trying to hide it with the clasped cloak before. So you kind of, you know, use this time to wander around and look at your surroundings. Dink, dink. when you know you basically turn your back and you start to look down, and you see, you know, it's still, it's blood, you know, hovering your chest and most of your stomach, and you manage to get rid of some of that. And you see that there is this very crude and rough spiral that has been carved for you in your chest.
Oh, God. Great. Okay. And he's gonna touch the center of it, and he's gonna kind of look up and around and just go, all right.
Still a little tender.
But... Yeah. Yeah. Just kind of lightly. All right. I gotcha. I see. He's gonna close his cloak back up and walk back over the rest.
All right.
So, guys, where are we headed now? Have you guys seen anything that I haven't yet? Or are you too busy arguing about gods that don't matter?
I'm just going to kind of give him a dirty look and then start looking around.
Funny enough, so am I.
In the complete opposite direction.
You know, Dorian is like going at it, and the next thing you know, it's that slow, simultaneous turn over to Marmalek.
Both of you harumph and then cross your arms.
It's like the Irish brother fight. Right, only I can kick his ass.
Alright, so you look around, and where you are at this current point, you find yourself probably a dozen or so feet away from the edge of a cliff. On the opposite direction, there is a fairly desolate landscape. With stepped plateaus covered in low rolling hills. Where you are, your immediate area seems to be washed in almost a pale gray, and you see little, if no, life. There is grass and some bushes and things like that, but there's really no sounds except for the sound of some running water off in the distance and the occasional breeze blowing through. The cliffside, as it drops, just beyond it, you expect to see either the other edge of the cliff or, you know, something else. Instead, you see nothing. It is this roiling, you see a slight movement in it, and it kind of has a silverish tinge, almost. But it's almost as if the air itself seems to have density to it. You know, yes, I know that air has density and everything, but, you know, almost like if you're trying to look through heated air, it looks like that.
Morm, you have any idea what that might be?
Well, I did do a lot of reading about the different planes. Let me look for a moment more. And, can I do a, knowledge, or would it be local? What would it be for here?
Planes.
Planes? Okay. Yeah. Knowledge planes check then.
Mm-hmm.
And, 31.
Alright. So, you kind of step closer to the edge of the cliff. And you look around you, and you look down, and you see that this cliff just kind of drops off into nothingness. There's nothing below you. And that sound of running water off in the distance, you kind of look off to the south. It would be to your left. And you see that, you know, there is a river, probably about 100 or so feet down. And it just empties out into the end of the cliff and basically ends, you think, it goes off into vapor and darkness, and basically it's an endless falling waterfall. And so looking around and seeing that you're pretty sure, you know, at least all the information that you had, you're in Kalandern. So, if at least what you know of right now, that's correct. And you're pretty sure that, with, you know, 99% possibility, that what you're, the endless vastness that you're staring out to is the astral sea.
Okay. And would he have any idea about which direction to go from the astral sea to get towards where they were initially trying to find with the pillar with the champion of Aelor?
Well, there. If you, which information? Let's see. I gave you information, correct?
Pillars. I think that was in the planar travel. Give me a second.
Yeah, I'm looking as well. You know, Cable Guy is a very underrated movie. I don't know why that got such a bad rap. I thought it was very good. Funny, twisted. I mean, granted, it is what's his name?
Gary.
In kind of a similar role to what he's usually in, but... Alright, let's see. Champion of Paylor. Corrin, correct?
Yes.
Defender of the Northern Pillar. Oh. So, and if you actually, you know, you look out onto the Astral Sea and you're like, okay, that ends never. That's great. And so then you kind of take a turn and you begin to look inward now. Since obviously there's only one direction that you could really go. You obviously can't go out, so you have to go in. And you see that luckily, the thin fog that's currently surrounding you is just that. It seems to just be kind of sitting on the immediate edge of this plane. So within another couple of dozen feet, it does thin out and then stop. So it doesn't really hinder your vision, really. And so when you look inward, the only major landmarks you really see that appear are five towering pillar-like mountains. And they are fairly spread out, but even the furthest one away from you is still within sight. It could be, you know, 12 or 15 miles away, but it's still there at least.
Okay. So Galen, well, see that thing over there where, you know, it just doesn't matter?
Mm-hmm.
It's the Astral Sea. There's no reason for us to even go that look that way, really. So if we turn north, we can go and try to find the Northern Pillar, which is where Corrin is the guardian, who is someone that, as we talked about before, Dorian is at least familiar with. So that would probably be our best bet. So we can just head north.
Okay, if you say so.
This is that way, so...
This seems, I don't know anything about all this travel and planar stuff, but it seems kind of weird that the key would take us and the portal would drop us off in the middle of nowhere. I mean, it's a good thing we landed on the cliff another 20 feet and we would have wound up right over the edge. That seems kind of stupid.
Very true. I assume that the different portals that we could have tried would have taken us different places. That was just the first one that we found that was actually workable, so...
Real quick, what are Dorian and Leo doing right now?
Listening.
Looking okay. Around, doing my best not to look towards Dorian.
Alright. In that case, how about, so Leo, give me a perception check.
Alright, I have a 18.
Nice, alright. So you're looking around and you have already seen these five... You know, large, very, very steep and slender mountains. They stick out like sore thumbs. And so you're like, okay, those. And you start kind of looking at your immediate area, and you actually do notice that ever so slightly, almost like they're, you know, beyond anything more ancient than what you've ever dealt with. You have seen the old towns and villages from when the humans and some of the other races really expanded before the drow took over. And so, and even you guys camped in one. So you're used to, you know, every once in a while coming across ruins of buildings and such. But these look like they have been here almost forever. And there's barely sign of them anymore, but there just barely is something, at least, that you can hold on to. And so you see the very bare, but visible if you look, foundation of a building. And it looks like you're sitting or standing in the middle of a room inside another room.
And, I'm gonna start, like, walking towards one of, like, the edges of the room.
Okay.
Kind of away from the edge of the cliff, because fuck that. And I'm gonna bend down and I wanna try to, like, it's, like, almost, like, really small, almost, like, right into the ground, right?
Yeah, basically. And now the walls are still, you know, the foundation is still thick. It's just worn away almost to nothing, as if it's, you know, barely, like you said, barely standing above the surface.
And I want to go over and kind of brush some of the dirt off of it so it, it kind of stands out a little more.
All right.
And see if I can go right around, like, the edge of the room that we're standing in.
Okay.
See if I can, like, find the outline of the entire room.
Yeah. Yeah, it's definitely plausible.
All right.
You might lose it here and there, but you're able to draw a straight line, so.
All right. After I find the outline of the room, can I search, like, I want to search the ground inside the room and see if I find anything.
Okay. If you dig away a little bit, probably a few inches underneath the dirt that you're at right now, eventually you actually will be able to come to a solid surface underneath.
Just rock, or is it, like, wood, like, petrified wood or tile?
No, it is, if you start to clear off a little bit more of an area, though rough from the wind kind of, you know, taking over after such a long amount of time, but you can still make out the breaks in the stone where they tiled this area.
Alrighty then. I'm gonna look up at Marm like a mic. And Marm, come here for a second. Hey, something you even might want to look at.
Alright. what's up?
And I'm gonna stand up and I'm just gonna kinda point to the foundations all around us. Like, we're in a building. It's an old building, but we're in a building. And I'm gonna kinda tap my foot where I was digging. See, it actually had a tiled floor at one point.
And does it, looking at the floor plan at all, does it look kind of like the building we just came from?
Oh, no, definitely not.
Definitely not. Okay. All right. Well, so apparently at one point it was a much more traveled portal, perhaps. Maybe there was actually a door here as well.
This might be why the key dropped us off right here.
Makes sense. Well, I don't think there's anything of use here. I mean, we could do a quick once-over, though.
Yeah, pointing it out.
Oh, okay. So, I'm going to look over at Galen. See, Leo figured out why we ended up here. You know, used to be a depot of sorts, location on this side, too.
Yeah, I guess that makes sense, then.
Well, I'm thinking if there used to be buildings here, there might have used to be a road leading from here. If you can find that, it might make travel a little easier.
Well, you're saying we're in a building. Didn't that guy say that was that key wasn't that used anymore, or that portal was old or something?
Yeah, he said that there wasn't much travel here in the last while.
This looks like the last few, like, 1,000 years.
Exactly.
This shit's old.
Huh. Well then, I wonder if we'll find anyone around here.
I don't know. It doesn't look like anybody's around.
When he says that, I'm just going to start walking towards where I think a doorway was, looking at the foundation.
Okay.
And see if I can kind of follow the foundation to where I believe an exterior door would be from this building.
Okay. Easy enough. Takes you a little bit of time, but...
And then just kind of walk forward and see if I can find maybe the remnants of a road.
All right. Go ahead and give me a perception check.
Let's see, 21.
All right, so you go kind of digging around, trying to clear earth and look for something. And you, it's a little harder the further away you get from the edge of the plane, basically. As the further in you get, the more growth there is. But you're able to find a walkway, which looks to be made of some type of cobbled stone. And you follow that, you know, digging every couple feet or so to see if you can continue it. And soon enough, you come to a line of stone. And checking on either side of it, you find remnants of a wall. Unfortunately, on the other side of this break of stone, you search the immediate area of it and kind of fan out slightly and can find no more signs of structure or any stonework.
All right, I'm going to, once I kind of lose the track, I want to backtrack a little bit and see if I can pick it up again. See if I can find anything at all underneath the ground.
Okay, where are you backtracking to?
I want to backtrack to just outside the entrance, like the exit of the building we came to, and kind of go one of the other two directions that I didn't go.
All right. So you basically want to check either side of the pathway then?
Yeah, and see if it kind of branched out at all.
All right. So you check around and you see that there is stonework on the ground, right abutting the building. Looks almost like a, you get the sense that it was a patio almost. But that pretty much ends at the corner of the building on either side. And it doesn't look like there were any more breaks or paths leading off that first original pathway.
All right. I want to look around at the... there a lot of, like, brush? Is there a lot of plant life at all?
Yeah, the further in you move, it's fairly bramble-ish. Nothing is, lush or green. It's all vegetation that has evolved to suit a very harsh and dry climate. But there are bushes and mosses and ferns and things like that within the area.
Yeah, are there any sections of it that are a lot lower than the sections around it?
No, it's all... I would originally say eerily level, but now that you have found this structure, it kind of makes sense why everything around here is so flat.
Okay. Alright. I'm just gonna kinda... I'm just gonna, like, turn around and look at Mom and be like, I'm not finding much. I kinda lost the trail.
Oh, all right then. Do you want to just head out then? And
that works. Maybe.
All right. Well, I mean, we're going basically straight north. So I mean, towards that the northernmost pillar, I guess. So if you want to lead the way, you're better at tracking and distance and keeping direction and all that.
All right, gonna go. I'll lead.
All right.
I'm just gonna kind of start walking.
All right. So toward they.
The color he pointed to.
Sounds good. So yeah, he's pointed out what mountain you need to go to, basically. So you just kind of have to pick your spot and travel towards that. And now, like I said before, you're unsure of the first off, the size of these mountains. And also, so it's very hard to judge exactly how far away they are, what distance really is in this place. So you're pretty unsure of how long it's going to take you with a straight shot, but the fact that there's these very steep plateaus and rolling hills and everything all along within your path, timing is almost impossible to tell. It's, you know, you don't know the environment, so you can't really guess as to how long it would take you. You can kind of take a guess and say that it's maybe about 15 miles away, but what's in between you and that in that 15 miles is totally unsure. So I don't really want to give you a time estimate on how long you guys might be walking.
All right. Is the lighting changing at all? Getting darker, getting brighter?
No, it's basically staying this somewhat dim, duskish-like light.
Okay. All right. Here you go.
Yeah. So I will say, while I don't want to tell you how long you will be traveling for, I will tell you that you do walk for, say, 10 or so minutes, maybe 15.
So a little closer than 15 miles, I like.
Right, yeah. I want to go ahead and give me perception checks.
Twenty. 17. 23. 19.
Look at you guys, Jesus Christ. Apparently I have to up my DCs.
Yeah, no.
You're like, no.
We're getting all the good rolls out early.
Good.
I also have a pretty high base perception, so I'm not really rolling that good.
Uh-huh. So you guys are walking for a little bit, like I said, about 10, 12 minutes, and you are keeping an eye out of your surroundings. And at the ground below you, you see a very faded but clear pattern of shadows on the ground, which immediately shoots your eyes upwards. And you see that there are probably, you count, take your time, and 2, 3, 4, 5 birds of a decent size, you think, circling above you. And it seems that, you know, if you walk for another minute or so, that they're kind of circles are lining up with as you walk. They might deviate a little bit from side to side, but for the most part, they're staying right in your general area.
Can I recognize these birds at all?
Go ahead and give me nature check.
Oh, wow. What the hell? Just, oh, fucking Java. 7.
Wow, nice. You can tell by their flight pattern and everything that they're some type of a predatorial bird, and there's 5 of them, so they're not solo, so it's not any type of hawk or falcon or anything like that. So it's pretty hard to, but considering where you are and all that kind of stuff, it's pretty hard to really nail down exactly what type of bird this is.
And how big are they?
Well, that's the thing. As you're kind of watching them, they start off as pretty decently sized birds. You're guessing a wingspan of maybe 3, 3.5 feet. And then, maybe 4 feet. Maybe maybe 5 feet.
Oh, Jesus.
Maybe, oh, they're diving at us.
Wait, what?
Awesome.
Go ahead and roll me initiative.
That'll do it for us this week, but stay tuned next time for more of the Dragon Fisters Actual Play Podcast. Remember to go to thedragonfisters.blogspot.com and click on that Amazon link, and go to audibletrial.com/dragonfisters for your 30-day trial. In the meantime, you can follow us on Twitter with @dragonfisters, contact us with thedragonfisters@gmail.com, you can like us on Facebook, or you can rate us on iTunes, RPG Podcasts, and Stitcher. And don't forget to head on over to thepointsofinterestpodcast.com and legendsatabletop.com for more audio awesomeness. So until next time, roll 'em high and roll 'em often. This has been a presentation of the Points of Interest Podcast Network, podcasts by geeks, for geeks, and the Legends of Tabletop Network, making legends one die at a time.
No, last time John fell asleep, and we just bullshitted for about 2 hours.
Was that all in my head when we teleported and shit? Do I not have a more badass bow? Okay.
Yeah.
Well, you actually don't have a more badass bow, but...
I totally have a more badass bow.
It's just pretty...
With a raven skull in it now.
Oh, yeah.
I can't wait to destroy that.
What is that?
Huh? What?
You can't believe what?
Nothing.